The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time for Ageless Living with Dr. Tong Lee and co-host Kurt Wilhelm. In our lives, we are always on that quest to look better and feel better. But how do we start? What are the best practices we can introduce into our lives to start really living it? Here with at least some of the answers are Dr. Lee and Kurt Wilhelm.
Welcome to Ageless Living here at Voice America World Talk Radio. This is Dr. Tong Lee, your host here with my co-host,
Kurt Wilhelm. I'm so excited to be back on the show. This is actually one of my favorite times during the week, is talking to our audience members about healthy living. And actually, I will admit...
So we can start living healthy to begin with, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the point is that as much as I don't want to offend our great listeners, it's really Dr. Lee that I look forward to talking to, because she has such great wisdom every year, every week.
I look forward to it, too.
You bet.
So much fun. We've been talking about a lot of wonderful things, and today we'll be talking about something that affects almost one-third of adult Americans. That is something called high blood pressure or hypertension. This is a term we hear everywhere, but many people suffer from it, and we want to, you know, get over all the details on what it is and why is it such a risk, what we should do about it, and are there things we can do at home other than taking medications if it's early stage or is an option.
And I have a confession to make. The first time I heard the term hypertension, it was about 7 years ago, and I had an employee who said, "I can't come to work this week because my father has hypertension, and I have to be gone for a week." And I rolled my eyes and said, "Hypertension? What's that? You know, he's stressed." So I've come a long way in learning about high blood pressure.
You know, it's actually interesting going over the history of how we learned about this disease.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of that, but you know, to review it, it was interesting. In the ancient time, mm-hmm. actually, the treatments involved letting out blood,
mm-hmm.
the leeches.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Inducing fever that would actually cause your blood vessels to dilate to reduce blood pressure.
Okay.
That's how early we knew that high blood pressure was bad for you, and something needs to be done.
And even though it seems a little bit crazy, you can kind of see what they were starting to consider. You know, they knew there was something they needed to do to let off the pressure, but kind of the wrong idea.
Yeah, high blood pressure is a silent disease. Mm-hmm. So the way we call it silent is because you don't necessarily have any specific symptoms or discomfort, mm-hmm. or you don't necessarily know you have high blood pressure unless you take a check of blood pressure.
Right.
So it's good to be aware of such a common disease to actually get it under control, because it is damaging to all the vital organs.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's important to understand that. So, first of all, what causes or what is high blood pressure? Well, blood pressure has a normal range. We need blood pressure in order to drive the oxygenated, nutritionally loaded, fresh blood to our tissue. So that is, the resistance in the blood vessel. Usually we talk about the arterial blood vessels that you encounter, that the heart encounters when it pumps blood to the tissue. And there are usually two numbers in the blood pressure reading. The first one is called systolic. The second one is called diastolic. What it means is that there are two different levels of readings. The first one is really reading where the heart is pumping, mm-hmm. where the blood pressure is. The second one is reading where the heart is at rest, because heart pumps and rests, pumps and rests. So, you know, the two numbers are different for that reason.
You know, I've never heard anybody explain it that way.
It's a more of an easy way to understand.
Yes, yeah, and that does make a lot of sense.
Right. And the blood pressure being high could be either numbers going wrong. Mm-hmm. Either the top number is too high or the bottom number is too high. Mm-hmm. The top number, you know, this is a little bit arbitrary because we determine what number is normal. It used to be we say it's the systolic or the higher number. If it's lower than 140, then you're okay.
Oh.
Now I think the new standard has changed. The new standard says, well, you should be lower than 130 or even 120.
Gotcha.
It would be better. So we're starting to warn people, well, if you're in the 120 to 140 level, you should watch out. You may be the early stage or borderline. So you can do something about it. So you can hopefully never reach the real advanced stage of high blood pressure, which I think is really good.
Right. I do need to, I just feel strongly, I want to give a plug to Orange Theory here real quick. So I've been working out at Orange Theory for the last couple months and lost about 17 pounds. That's beside the point. The point is that on my way to losing that 17 pounds, when I started working out there, I had okay blood pressure. It was 120 over 80. But I just took my blood pressure this morning, and I am now 106 over 73. So that I'm much less than that. Now, if your blood pressure gets too low, are you going to be talking about that?
Kurt, you're just way ahead of me.
We'll talk about that later.
We'll definitely talk about how exercise will, you know, do a lot of benefit to your blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And you got a very good point there about blood pressure being too low. That's a very good concern. Mm-hmm. You know, because we talked about what blood pressure is for, right? Because it's the drive. You know, you need to drive the blood mm-hmm. to the tissue. So you could imagine if there's no pressure at all, mm-hmm. it wouldn't go anywhere.
So you might have cold extremities at the very least.
Right. And also, it's actually called shock.
Oh, okay.
Your body closes down. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a shock state. It's near death. Mm-hmm. So you do need a normal level of blood pressure, just like everything else, balance, right in the middle. Mm-hmm. You don't want it too low. You don't want it too high. You want it to be the normal level. So while we're here, what is too low? The systolic or the first number, the top number, mm-hmm. usually are considered okay or high enough when it's over 90.
Okay. So there's a range of goodness between 90 to 120.
Correct.
So I'm still okay.
It's not absolute, though.
Okay.
You know, some
depends on why it's low.
And very fit, and some pregnant women can actually have it as low as 80s.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's not like point to point to be 90, but in that range.
That makes sense.
So that is what normal number is for the top one. For the bottom one, which is diastolic blood pressure, that usually the normal number should be under 90.
Okay.
And what is too low for that? Usually under 60. Same thing is relative. You know,
okay.
58, are you okay? Yeah, you're okay if you're feeling fine.
Okay.
But usually in that range. So that is the normal number for blood pressure, for the two numbers. So high blood pressure, there are usually 95% of high blood pressure are something called essential or primary hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
The real translation for that is that's the type of hypertension we don't know the cause. That's called essential or primary hypertension. The other 5% cases, which is rare, not the majority of the us out there getting high blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
those people have something called secondary hypertension. Those are caused by specific diseases. We know why they have high blood pressure because either they have a narrowing of their aorta right out of the heart, of course the pressure is going to be high. So that's one example. Or they have chronic kidney diseases that they retain more liquids and their regulation of blood pressure is affected. Or they have tumors growing in their endocrine glands, either in the adrenal gland or in the parathyroid gland or the thyroid gland. So they would have hormonal problems, which can be related to high blood pressure. Those are explainable. You know the cause. Those are secondary hypertension. Other things include drugs. You know what? Cocaine causes hypertension.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Well. Cocaine can give you such a high heart rate and blood pressure, and you can actually have a stroke as a 20-year-old.
Wow. Is that what?
Well, a stroke or a heart attack.
Is that what can very high blood pressure lead? In other words, the fact there's so much pressure there is part of what leads toward a stroke?
Of course. It's somewhat mechanical. When you have such a high pressure, few things can happen. Acutely, the blood vessel can break, right? The pipe can break.
So then it clots inside? Is that part of
what's
happening?
It's called hemorrhage or bleeding stroke, if it happens in the brain. If it happens in the blood vessel, that's where it's weak. It's called aneurysm rupture.
Okay.
That could be detrimental, as we can see. So those are the acute things. You know, you can also have a heart attack and those things.
Yeah, because I've noticed that strokes and heart attacks are kind of come in the same vicinity, if not the same day.
That's good you mentioned it.
Yeah.
The reason why these things are related, we're going to go over that too, is because high blood pressure is a insidious, silent disease of the whole body. Imagine that it's, you know, you have blood vessels everywhere.
Right.
Where the blood vessels that are divided into capillaries, which is the very small, fine blood vessels, is where the organs rich in capillaries are heavily influenced by the consequences of hypertension. Those organs include brain, kidneys, lungs, heart. Wow. They're very rich in blood vessels. So when you have high blood pressure, all those organs can be affected. And this is kind of interesting to talk over, too. I think we're almost time for break.
Yeah, it looks like it is.
So when we come back, we'll talk about what kind of muscles are there controlling blood pressure and why the blood pressure can be high. Well, we don't know when we're not tensing up, and what can we do about it? So don't go far away. This is Dr. Tong Lee with Ageless Living at Voice America Word Talk Radio.
We'll be right back after the break.
Listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Arizona Laser and Skin is a leading med spa that provides minimal invasive cosmetic surgery, such as liposuction with fat transfer for body contouring, face and neck lift, and eyelid surgery. We offer services using the most advanced technologies. We provide both traditional and non-traditional methods to keep you looking and feeling your best. Call 480-598-9733 or visit azmdlaser.com to schedule a consultation. That's 480-598-9733. Or find us on the web at azmdlaser.com. Arizona Laser and Skin offers a holistic approach to health and beauty. Whether it's acupuncture for facelifts, health issues, weight loss, and stress management, come see us. We also offer non-surgical facelifts and fat freezing for love handles. We provide conventional health methods to keep you looking and feeling your best. Schedule a consultation with us today by contacting Arizona Laser and Skin at 480-598-9733 or on the web at azmdlaser.com. That's azmdlaser.com.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Ageless Living with Dr. Tong Lee and Kurt Wilhelm. If you have a question or comment about our show, please send an email to tonglee.md@gmail.com. That's tonglee.md@gmail.com. Now, back to our program, Ageless Living.
Welcome back to Ageless Living here on World Talk Radio and Voice America. This is Kurt Wilhelm, the co-host of the show, and joined by Dr. Lee, Dr. Tong Lee, who is the knowledgeable one amongst us. There's several reasons that she is so knowledgeable. Dr. Lee has Eastern medicinal degrees and also Western medicinal degrees and practices both types of medicine. So if any of you are looking to have a truly integrative experience, I would definitely recommend that you get in contact with Dr. Lee through one of our sponsors, Arizona Laser and Skin. So Arizona Laser and Skin is actually three things bundled in one. It's a holistic practice. It also is a med spa and also a cosmetic surgery. So if you are looking for a very holistic approach to your life, whether that's because you're trying to become more beautiful or because you're trying to become more balanced or just overall more healthy, I'd recommend going to azmdlaser.com, visit the website, and also if they wanted to schedule an appointment, Dr. Lee, what's the proper phone number?
The phone number is 480-598-9733. Again, it's 480-598-9733. And we're located at I-10 and Chandler Boulevard, just on 46th Street, block south of Chandler Boulevard.
You bet. So just right there off the I-10 and Ray Road, just very, very easy to get to. And here's the reason that I bring this up, is that when you're inside of an integrative medicinal practice, you're not just told, here, take some aspirin, thin your blood, get that blood pressure down and relax a little bit. There's other types of things that can actually help hypertension, high blood pressure, such as acupuncture. And Dr. Lee actually does practice acupuncture. Dr. Lee, do you want to tell us a little bit about how acupuncture helps reduce blood pressure?
Well, you know, how it helps with the blood pressure is not clearly known, but we know it does.
Sure.
It's just like meditation, yoga, mm-hmm. and, there are a lot of proposed theories how it works, mm-hmm. but you know what? It works.
And there's quantitative studies that actually show that.
Absolutely. And what the key thing is you do want to maintain your blood pressure at normal level, and we're going to go over that a little bit more because that's the ultimate goal. Because if you can control your blood pressure, then you can lead a relatively normal life mm-hmm. with this silent disease. So, you know, there are a lot of reasons behind it why we're going to talk about if hypertension is something that can be cured. Because this is debatable, and we're going to debate about it.
I am going to make – I don't know why this just came into my head. It's not so much an analogy. It's just a funny little experience that I had. Obviously, all of us love to save water inside of our homes. The lower the less water we use, the better it is for the environment, and in particular, the easier it is on the pocketbook. But in particular, the reason why this came to my attention is that there was too much pressure in our home in the water pipes, and one day the shower head just shot off. So that's kind of what it had.
No one got hurt. Right?
Nobody got hurt. Thank goodness. But the point is that the reason why it was. This came to my mind is that that's essentially what we're doing to our bodies when we have too much pressure in our veins.
It's there are just, similarities, but yeah. There are differences too.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the difference is it is somewhat mechanical, mm-hmm. except in the human body's brain controls everything. Mm-hmm. There is chemical signal carrying messengers.
Okay.
From the endocrine system, there's the brain, the nervous system, I mean, it's so much more delicate and complex than the mechanical pipe, but it does have some similarity. You got a pump, you got the pipe, there's pressure.
Sure.
There's some of that too. Mm-hmm. So we were going to talk about the muscles. Did you know that there are muscles in your blood pressure, in your blood vessels?
I didn't know.
They're called smooth muscle. They're not the skeletal muscle. It's different.
Okay.
They're tiny little blood vessels in the, especially arteries, not as much in the veins, but that will allow the body to constrict and relax blood vessels.
Cool.
It is really cool. Does your pipe do that at home?
Nope. That's why the shower head shot off.
That's right. I mean, there's accommodation, there's limits. Mm-hmm. And this is when, you know, when the blood vessel wall is too rigid, mm-hmm. not flexible enough as we get older, or if the pressure is too much, or if the wall has a weakness. Mm-hmm. That's where we have strokes. We have other problems. Mm-hmm. But basically, there are small, tiny blood muscles in the blood pressure in the blood vessel walls. Those muscles are controlled by the, like I said, the chemical messengers, the central nervous system, and also the sympathetic nerve system. And so, this is why a lot of things affect our blood pressures. And blood pressure is not a constant. It's like, oh, this is your blood pressure, like your height and weight. It's a fixed number. Blood pressure continuously fluctuates based on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So you may have blood pressure that's really, really, really high when you're angry, when you're having an argument or a fight.
So when they talk about that, his blood pressure went up and his face got all red. That's exactly what's happening.
That's right. That's
He's
right.
angry. Yeah.
Yeah, but when you're asleep, it may be just perfectly normal. Mm-hmm. This is partially why medications can be very important, because we want it always low so you don't have a chronic problem. Mm-hmm. But it may not be the best solution.
Got it.
And let alone the side effect.
It low.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let alone the side effects of it.
Gotcha.
So we talked about the essential high blood pressure. That's pretty much what we're focusing on. That's mm-hmm. the 90% of the cases of high blood pressure. The secondary ones are really rare. They're the ones that's more considered curable. Mm-hmm. The primary or essential high blood pressure, usually you go to the doctor's office, you'll ask them, well, I have high blood pressure. Well, by the way, how is high blood pressure diagnosed? Usually it's at a resting situation.
Uh-huh.
Not excited, not angry, not after running or walking. Mm-hmm. You're in a quiet, relaxed situation. It was checked three times, being high, being over the limit we talked about, over 140, or to be more stringent, 130 or 20.
I guess it's a little bit harder to get your arm in that little thing while you're on the treadmill, so they can pump it up.
You know, actually, there are finger ones.
Oh,
there are.
Hey.
You know, there are all kinds. If you're curious,
yeah, I would be curious to know what my blood pressure is. A couple of times, I felt like my heart was going to pop.
See a little mind going.
That's right.
So it's funny that, you know, at this point, I thought of something. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say? Well, if blood pressure high is bad for you, why would you exercise?
Yes. Now, I could try to answer that question.
Yes.
In my mind, there's at least one aspect, and I know the body is very complex, but the smaller your arteries are, the higher the pressure is. If you really think about it, if your body is pushing your heart is pushing the blood through the veins and it has a smaller hole, then just the physics of it, you're going to increase the pressure. Now, when you exercise, it actually helps clear out your arteries. And so just by the mechanical nature of it, your blood pressure is going to go down. But I know there's a much more complex answer.
That was a good point. Okay. You're talking about the cholesterols or the plugs mm-hmm. of the buildup inside the blood vessels. Yeah, that's very good. Exercise does reduce your cholesterol level, which hopefully will indirectly help gradually reduce your buildup in the blood vessel
by widening the pathway in those arteries. But
absolutely.
I know there's much more to
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. But just don't think it too hard to so much details.
If you exercising, can you tell I have an engineering background?
Absolutely. All that pipes. And
yeah.
But if you're, like we talked about, I think in one of our previous show, we talked about the heart rate in the same way. Mm-hmm. If exercise is going to raise your heart rate, and a slower heart rate is good for you, mm-hmm. and why are we exercising? Well, the body is so complex. You know, when you actually exercise to raise the blood pressure and heart rate, it will reduce your normal resting rate.
Okay.
So it's like you're modulating it. You're modifying it by stretching it. So you are more flexible.
Okay.
So the blood vessel walls do become stiff when we age.
Oh.
Exercising reduces that speed of aging, or stiffening. Uh-huh. It makes you more flexible.
Oh.
So your blood vessel walls are more flexible, so you can have better blood pressure.
So in a way, you are also, be it by the opening and closing of the, or by the expansion and contraction
absolutely.
Of those veins, you're exercising those smooth muscles
right.
in there.
Right.
Okay.
Very
good. So, you're learning.
Yes. It's really fun. Uh-huh. Even though the smooth muscle mm-hmm. in the blood vessel wall is not something like skeletal muscle, you can tell it, oh, move, bend. Even though it doesn't work that way, but brain does have power over it. Mm. When you're stressed, your little blood vessels will constrict.
I see.
And if you relax your mind, if you become not stressed, the vessels will relax. That's why meditation and relaxation or reduced stress can help. Some of these are not exactly proven, but there are more of theories.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we call it essential hypertension or unknown cause hypertension. But these are the theories, and which make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So primary and secondary hypertension, we talked about the vessels can be controlled and how it works. And even though I just want to add a little bit more on the secondary hypertension, even though we know these diseases, tumors, and you know the artery defect, like narrowing, can cause those secondary hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
Some people also consider those lifestyle factors to be the causes or highly associated factors that contribute to hypertension. And those factors include obesity. Not mm-hmm. a surprise. We kind of know that.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Why is that? You know, imagine you have more tissue to supply oxygen and blood to.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart has to pump harder, a lot harder, to go through a lot longer vasculature to get there.
Somebody and somebody said that there's so many capillaries in our fat tissue that that if you lined them up end on end, I want you to correct me here, if you lined them end on end, if you're 50 pounds overweight, that's almost a mile of extra pumping that you're
I'm
asked
not
to do.
Surprised. I don't know exact, but I'm not surprised about it. And when I was taking one of those anesthesia board exam, I saw one question that really impressed me too, that is the heart has to pump something like 5 to 10 times harder if you double your weight.
Really? Yeah, so less wear and tear. Now, okay, so here's another contradiction. If most things wear out when in use, then why does exercise make your heart more healthy, and why does making it work 10 times harder when you're twice the weight not healthy for it?
This is because that is constantly you carrying the weight. Mm-hmm. The supply is constant, but exercise is not constant.
Mm, it's an investment of time rather
That's right.
than... Okay,
That's right.
I gotcha.
So obesity being one contributing factor.
Mm-hmm.
sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. I actually can do that too. It's actually interesting. Sleep apnea is not necessarily 100% times associated with the obesity, but a lot of times they are. Mm-hmm. Also, the lack of oxygen, and that's called hypoxemia, can be a factor. Mm-hmm. Drugs, we touched on cocaine. Other medications, prescription or over-the-counter medicine can do that. Mm-hmm. Herbal supplements, some of the herbal supplements can increase your blood pressure. One of the interesting one is licorice. This was interesting.
I've actually heard that. It's supposed to also speed your metabolism. So is chili, right? So which is there a good and a bad way to speed your metabolism without increasing your hypertension?
I guess that depends on your baseline blood pressure. Is it too high with the consumption of licorice? Or, and also how much you take.
Okay.
So everything in moderation.
Yeah, true.
Excessive licorice consumption can cause raising in blood pressure too. This one I thought it was interesting.
Now this is black licorice, correct?
I think any licorice.
Okay.
I've known a few different kinds. Okay. So the definition in the medical dictionary of hypertension is the increase of blood pressure to such a level, it will likely to induce cardiovascular damage or other consequences. Mm-hmm. That is when we call you have a problem, hypertension. And why is hypertension a risk for our health? We talked about high blood pressure is a whole body disease, especially to the organs that's rich in blood vessels. Mm-hmm. So, in the brain, it can cause either weakening of the blood vessel, which is called aneurysm. Mm-hmm. Potentially, at some point, it can not take the pressure and burst. That's not good, like your pipe. Mm-hmm. Like your shower head.
Right, just like that.
It would blow off. And that would be a major stroke. That would be bad. Mm-hmm. In the heart, it can make the heart muscles get really, really fat and thick because the heart has to pump real hard against those high pressure. So that's called cardiomyopathy or hypertrophy, meaning the heart muscles getting thicker and bigger. And eventually it can lead to heart failure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And when you have a thicker and a bigger, you can call it fat. It's not really fat, but it's more tissue, more muscle, mm-hmm. or fibrous tissue. You need more oxygen. So you actually have a relative shortage of oxygen, which can cause lack of oxygen, which is leading to heart attack.
Can your heart get fat around it, like the liver and kidneys can?
You actually can.
Okay.
There's fat everywhere.
I guess so. You just got to store it somewhere.
fat is good in a small quantity. Same thing, moderation. Mm-hmm. You need fat to cushion, to protect. Okay. Imagine without fat, there's no cushioning, though, no protection. Your heart be hanging there with nothing to cushion it.
Right.
So there's always fibrous tissue, fat to come to help. I guess, shall we just go on with this one? Because we missed the break.
Oh, did we just completely blow past our break?
I think we did.
Oh, okay. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll pick back up with hypertension and cover, I think, is it some of the causes?
Yes. Everything about high blood pressure.
Okay, sounds good. So when we come back from the break, we'll discuss more about it. If you have hypertension, know somebody who does have hypertension, or you don't want to get hypertension, high blood pressure, then keep your pen and paper handy, and we'll be right back after the break.
Steps to a Healthier You. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Arizona Laser and Skin offers a holistic approach to health and beauty. Whether it's acupuncture for facelifts, health issues, weight loss, and stress management, come see us. We also offer non-surgical facelifts and fat freezing for love handles. We provide conventional health methods to keep you looking and feeling your best. Schedule a consultation with us today by contacting Arizona Laser and Skin at 480-598-9733 or on the web at azmdlaser.com. That's azmdlaser.com. Arizona Laser and Skin is a leading med spa that provides minimal invasive cosmetic surgery, such as liposuction with fat transfer for body contouring, face and neck lift, and eyelid surgery. We offer services using the most advanced technologies. We provide both traditional and non-traditional methods to keep you looking and feeling your best. Call 480-598-9733 or visit azmdlaser.com to schedule a consultation. That's 480-598-9733 or find us on the web at azmdlaser.com.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
You are tuned in to Ageless Living with Dr. Tong Lee and Kurt Wilhelm. If you have a question or comment about our show, please send an email to tonglee.md@gmail.com. That's tonglee.md@gmail.com. Now, back to our program, Ageless Living.
Welcome back to Ageless Living here at Voice America World Talk Radio. This is Dr. Tong Lee here with my co-host,
Kurt Wilhelm. Welcome back, and definitely there's going to be so much information shared here. You may want to keep your pencil and pens and paper and highlighters handy.
Absolutely. There's so much we can do that I think for people who are searching, they know. But I just want to mention that we actually do a lot of treat a lot of people with high blood pressure with acupuncture. So if you're ever interested in that, check us out in our website, which is www.azmdlaser.com. That's azmdlaser.com.
And a phone number to set an appointment?
The phone number would be 480-598-9733. It's 480-598-9733. So we encounter this question sometimes on the people who still have hope. Is high blood pressure or hypertension curable?
Right.
Most people are told by their doctors, no, it's not a curable disease. You are going to live with it the rest of your life. You need to take your medication the rest of your life.
Wow.
Which is not always true. I think there's a good point the doctors are saying that because they want to make sure you're taking your medicine. Mm-hmm. So you actually control your blood pressure, because the only way to avoid the bad consequences of those and organ damages is to control the blood pressure day to day. So that was good to make you be alert and be always on the guard for your blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. And also in their defense, it's kind of like when you're young but old enough to get married, and then you talk to your parents about it, and they say, you know what, she is who she is. So she's not going to change. Now, is it possible for her to change? Sure. but they're just making that statement so that you take a reality check.
Exactly.
And I think there was just some
exactly.
other thing going
now,
on there.
First of all, we've talked about the blood pressures fluctuate with your different mood, activities. And how could it be constant? I mean, it's not constant. So it is an ever-changing number. And why would it be fixed in a high level forever? don't you think there's a chance that you can cure it?
Yeah, to me, there is definitely a chance through exercise, nutrition, getting your... Because, I mean, I guess you're talking to a guy who was 90 pounds heavier at one point, and so, you know, theoretically, maybe I had 3 or 4 miles of extra capillaries back then for my heart to push through. And I don't think I even took my blood pressure back then. I don't know what I had, but I do know that it's good now. And... So there are certain limitations, though. Sometimes you may have damaged your body to the point where it's not going to completely heal, but
that's
it
correct.
Can at least counter countermeasures.
I want to put it this way. Now, if your uptightness or a personality that's usually more stressed or your lifestyle doesn't change, yes, your blood pressure problem is going to stay there forever. Mm-hmm. Then you're not, you know, it's not curable.
Right.
But if you change all the factors that contribute to your high blood pressure, even though they're not like a tumor or anything that you can cut out, but if you can actually modify your lifestyle enough, you may have enough change that your high blood pressure can get down. Mm-hmm. So how is high blood pressure treated? Usually it's either in the conventional medicine, it's either with medications or lifestyle change, or both. So if you're borderline, you know, the numbers are not really that high, but, you know, on the alert, you could start doing your lifestyle changes and hopefully never get to the criteria that you're diagnosed for sure to be hypertension. Mm-hmm. So guess what kind of lifestyle changes we need to make to reduce the blood pressure? Guess a few.
Some tough ones. Definitely the way we eat. Maybe or maybe not. Depending, it's a controversial about salt intake. But and then also your exercise levels.
Definitely. Yeah, very good too. Salt intake is actually pretty proven. Mm-hmm. In the old time, not that old, when we're talking about letting out blood from leeches and inducing fever to reduce blood pressure. Mm-hmm. Complete, you know, no intake of sodium was one of them.
I see.
In the historical history of treating high blood pressure in the early time. Oh, yeah. It's hard not to take any salt at all.
Yeah.
But definitely low salt intake will help with blood pressure control. Mm-hmm. Exercise, for some reason, you know, when you are constricting, relaxing your muscles and at the same time your blood vessels, your blood vessel walls are more flexible. That, by definition, will reduce your high blood pressure, right?
Right.
Because if you have a more flexible blood pressure walls, then, yeah, you're going to have the lower or more normal blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, if you think about salt, if you put salt in anything, it holds more water and it expands. And so... yeah, I can definitely see where the salt impacts your body.
And, you know, to control the salt, you not only not to add any table salt to your, not too much of it, mm-hmm. to your food, you also need to watch out the food you buy itself.
I actually love salt, but I never put salt on anything because I don't need to because it's always there.
Exactly.
That's how bad it is.
Exactly.
Even though I love salt.
And, well, in our next show, we're going to continue on a lot more remedies, home remedies and alternative things and herbal treatments. But today we're going to focus a little more on these.
Sure.
The salt is also in canned food, processed food. There's so much of it that you're right. You don't need to add anything to it. But if you're trying to go with a low-salt diet, you may want not eat too much or any processed food, canned food.
If I could throw something out there, just I know you're going to probably talk about it next show, but I found that lemon tastes salty when you put it inside of things. In other words, it simulates that feeling of zest.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I do.
How could
I,
you say lemon is salty?
Well,
it's sour.
Because that's only when it's a hint. So in other words, say in your salad dressings. So when I put lemon inside of the salad dressings that I make, it actually has a salty.
Well, actually, technically, a lot of those vegetable or fruits are very high in potassium, but they do have a little bit of sodium in it.
Oh, maybe that's why, because it actually has some sodium.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a low amount, though, but much more of potassium.
Gotcha.
And another thing I can't help to mention is actually yesterday I went with two of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is doing the juicing only diet.
Yeah, we talked a lot about juicing previously.
And she was having some craving for salt, and I told her, try ginger.
Yeah, ginger
she
is good.
She added
that
ginger
juicing
to that her diet, and she's like, she doesn't crave for salt anymore.
Yeah, and it's
so that's another
fresh,
little tip.
Clean flavor as well as, long, well as that kind of salty. Yeah, I can actually relate to what you're saying.
So, with the traditional medications, there's something called beta blockers.
Mm-hmm.
That's one class of medication. Something called calcium channel blockers. There's something called ACE inhibitor. And diuretics, which helps you to make more urine, lose more liquid.
Uh-huh.
And also something called alpha blockers. And also there's some direct vasodilators in the peripheral vessels. Those are the common drugs in treating hypertension.
I see.
One interesting point I want to mention is that calcium channel blocker is actually has been reported to be related to cancer.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that until I read about it. I'm like, wow. So they basically found out in the postmenopausal females who have been taking calcium channel blocker for over 10 years would have 2.5 times higher chance of getting breast cancer compared with the counterparts who either don't take any blood pressure medication or has other blood pressure medication.
Wow.
So that brings to a point that, medications do have side effects. So if you can go modify your lifestyle, change your diet, exercise, quit smoking, limited alcohol, all these things, and it's obviously better.
Sure.
Another thing that's really, really helpful to reduce blood pressure other than limiting sodium is increase the potassium, magnesium.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right, so lemons are back in for a different reason.
Oh yeah. That's that's one thing about why our current scientific studies are not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much we don't know in medicine or life.
Right.
Admitted it or not, we know lemon's good for you, but we're not exactly sure the 10 different things in lemon, which one that's lack of or it has benefits you, or all of them, or all of the above. So when we're doing a study, we're only picking one factor. We're trying to blind other things out. So that was good intention, to kind of isolate one thing out. But is isolating one thing out the only way or the best way to go?
Because life is holistic. Our bodies are holistic.
Exactly.
Yes.
So actually, sometimes the whole herb or whole vegetable or fruit works better than that one ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
There are some examples on that. I think we covered one of them that's anti-malarian, that herbal medicine.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you extract that one chemical out, the bacteria develops the resistant to it much faster. But if you use the whole herb, then it works well for a long time without the resistance.
Interesting,
huh?
Yeah.
So a lot of times we think pure is better, more refined is better. And now it's time to think back. Is it true? Maybe it's back. We should go back to less refined, more holistic, more whole. Whole grain is another one.
Yeah,
and better than the refined. Now we know that one.
Correct.
Yeah.
We actually were reading an article about that. So do we, I guess we're going to go straight through, or do we want to take a short break, or what's the best thing for us all?
I think that was an earlier one.
Oh, was it?
It wasn't
okay.
This one, yeah.
Okay.
Because that's 3:42, and that right now it's 52.
Okay, so I guess we'll go straight through to the end of the show.
So,
you know what? While we deviated, I have to ask just an off the wall question.
Sure.
Does blood pressure have anything to do with spider veins or varicose veins?
Not directly, or not so much.
Okay.
Because those veins are usually venous, on the venous side, not arterial.
Oh, I see.
Because when we're talking about blood pressure, we're talking about arterial blood pressure, mm-hmm. which is the part that comes out of the heart. Mm-hmm. The part brings the used blood back to the heart is the venous part.
I see.
That's more superficial. That's where the spider veins usually come from.
When it's coming back to the heart?
Those are venous, and they usually have very low pressure.
I see.
Not like blood pressure is over 100. It's very low.
I see.
So,
okay. Good to know.
So, other things that help with reducing the treatments, how is blood pressure treated, high blood pressure treated, is beetroot, what we use for juicing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's believed that that's the nitrates in it that helps reduce blood pressure. I don't know about it. It could be the vitamin C.
It's the sugar.
It could.
The sugar helps.
There are so many things. We know the beet helps. Do we have to extract it and make it into a capsule? Do we have to?
No.
Can we just juice?
Yeah, just juice. Even I believe in that.
So other things that are high in nitrates that we believe that in the literature that believes that can help with the blood pressure is cabbage, lettuce, radish, carrots, all these wonderful things we know they're good for us.
Mm-hmm.
They help with the blood pressure too.
Right.
Another thing I want to kind of focus on a little bit more that is really, really proven. We don't know the theory exactly, but we know it's proven that it helps with the blood pressure, is yoga.
Yoga really works really well for that.
Yes.
Okay.
We talked about blood pressure is affected by nerve system, either central nervous or parasympathetic nerve systems. So yoga really comes, first of all, from the mind. Relax your head. Have you ever tried yoga?
I have. Now, I love yoga, but there's two problems, and I know this is TMI again, but two problems I have, balance, and since I've been young, I have a hard time stretching, so I'm not good at it, but I enjoy it.
Well, you know, you're too hard on yourself. Yoga is something you do without competing with other people. There's no yoga competition.
Well, I need to have just a personal yoga instructor because it's hard to think. I'm not competing with anybody, but I sure look funny.
Right. But you compete with yourself. So as long as you're moving along a little bit at a time, do it to this degree where you can feel it, you're doing something. So there, the way I look at it, yoga has a couple of different components. One is mind relaxation. You put your mind down. You only focus on breathing and your body.
Got it.
Your body posture, your body being stretched. So the mind part is a big one. The breathing is the second part. You know, breathing is actually very good in relaxation and also delivering oxygen and also energy, chi, to different parts of the body. The third part would be the body stretching. So I think we're going to conclude today. We're going to actually continue about this topic in our next show. We're going to talk about all these healthy tips and natural remedies that can be applied in helping with the hypertension. One last thing on the stretching part is we're exercising not only the muscle, also the blood vessel, too. So.
Right. That's great to know. I'm even more excited to exercise than before. So also, if you want to find out more information, go to azmdlaser.com, set that appointment, and let's leave with the phone number.
It is 480-598-9733. And we give consultations on those natural remedies too. So,
thanks again for tuning in to Ageless Living here on World Talk Radio and Voice America. And we'll see you all next week.
All right.
We hope you've enjoyed our program today. Please join Dr. Tong Lee and her co-host, Kurt Wilhelm, for another edition of Ageless Living next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. It's better living, better health, for a super life.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Save on your prescriptions with the RX Savings Plus Drug Discount Card offered by Voice America. It is not insurance.